that God is calling us to, an invitation to go deeper in Him. Amen. And we're going to start this trek this week with our fast. Camila, come up here and help her up. Help her up and give her a mic. Get a mic for her. Here it is right here. Tell me about an onion.
Oh, this morning God gave me a vision so it was like a really big onion, which was random. And in the middle, Jesus was in the middle of the onion. But from the outside of the onion, you can see his glory. It was like a big booming bright light, and it was going boom, boom. So it's little old me and this big old onion with Jesus in the middle. And I started to like peel off the bottom layers, but wasn't enough to get to the middle. So then I climb at the top of the onion, and it took forever. It was a quick vision, but you know I can kind of speed up. So I can tell I was up there for a while, and then I got to the middle section and pulled it, and I seen hair. So I dug deeper, and then when I pulled it down some more, I seen a forehead. And it wouldn't let me go further because I assumed that once I see Jesus, I'm probably passed on. So I was like, oh, that was enough, Jesus. I ain't ready yet. Don't show me yet, Jesus. Please. So that was my vision about digging deeper. And I told Pastor that I feel like this fast, God wants to use this fast for us collectively to dig deeper so that our church and even in our individual lives can move forward. So I text after I heard the prayer because God, that's how God works. He'll tell a bunch of people the same thing.
Yeah. So be it. So be it. Thank you, Camila. Thank you.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll commend the men for you trained very well. So as we begin this solemn fast, in your bulletins, you have some information about doing the Daniel fast. There are some others though that I've said you need to join me on a complete fast, so Monday through Friday. Because we have to dig deeper, and we have to set aside things that are normal and comfortable for us to get to where He wants us to be. This is an invitation, and God's inviting us to come to know Him, right? And if you're hungry enough and desperate enough, and we sung it today, then I'm desperate for you. If we're hungry and desperate enough, we'll do whatever it takes to get what we desire. Amen. There was this prophet named Elijah. I'm going to get to Ephesians 4, and I won't have got about maybe 10 verses in Ephesians where we're going to finish, so just be patient with me, okay? But there was this prophet named Elijah, and he knew his time was about up, and so the Bible talks about this. I think it's in 1 Kings, I think chapter 19 or so, and because I'm talking about being hungry. All right, talking about being hungry, and not letting anything prevent you from achieving what you want to achieve. And so he goes by this land, and there's this younger man named Elisha who's there. And you got to get this in your mind. And Elisha is working on his father's land that at some point in time, the future is going to be his. Elijah walks by Elisha. And again, in 1 Kings 19, it says this. It says how that when he walked by, that Elijah threw his mantle onto Elisha. Now, Elisha, he's got this inheritance he's going to have from his dad. But as Elijah walks by, and the Bible doesn't give any indication that Elijah stopped. The implication from that chapter is he just threw his mantle onto the young man. What that actor was saying is, here's an opportunity, here's an invitation to be anointed by God to do great work in Israel. Here's an invitation. You have an inheritance from your father, and you are participating in that now by walking behind these 12 yoke oxen. But he throws this invitation out. And Elijah, what the Bible says, keeps walking. Meaning this. We're going somewhere. And if you want to come, you can come. Don't get mad at the next statement. But we're not waiting. He threw the mantle, and there's no indication in the text that he stopped to have this conversation with the young man. He threw this invitation, and the invitation was to be anointed by God to do great work in the Israel. But you have this choice to make, young man, because I know that you're next in line in your daddy's inheritance, and you're going to inherit all this land will be yours one day. But here's the invitation. He throws the mantle, and he keeps walking. You got to read 1 Kings 19 because it says this. It says this, and I'll paraphrase. It says, that boy gets caught the mantle, killed the oxen, burnt up the yoke, and said, I'm following you. He burnt the oxen, killed them, burned them up, sacrificed them. One preacher said, I don't know what his daddy had to say about all that. Because what he wanted was more valuable than what he had. And when you get to the point that what you want is more valuable than what you have, you'll do whatever it takes to get what you want. And you'll have to decide, is Jesus really what you want? I'm not talking about salvation, because most of us in here today have given our lives to Jesus. But I'm talking about, as the young man prayed today, there's something more that God has not, it's not hidden from us, but it's hidden for us. And he says, if you really want to get this, you're going to have to dig deep. As he gave this vision to Camille, you got to peel away that stuff. And they spoke through Marcia today. Listen, you got to be willing to do more this year than you did last year. And what you did last year was great, but God's requiring more if you really want to know more of me. Amen? Hallelujah. And so this fast, this time of fasting, is the beginning of it. The greatest appetite we have today is not a sexual appetite. I got to eat. Amen? So the greatest appetite we have is really a food appetite. And God, and I wonder if that's the reason why God set that up that way, that, listen, I want you to push that plate away so that I can reveal myself to you. And there's something about fasting. I wish I could really define what it is. But there's something about fasting, something about crucifying your flesh in the area of fasting that makes you more sensitive to the voice of God. You just hear them better. And so every night, we'll meet here every night from, and watch this. This is the casting of the mantle. We'll meet here every night at 6:30, Monday through Friday. And we'll be here approximately an hour and seeking God's face in prayer. And there's the mantle. It's going to happen. Whether you come here or not, it's going to happen. Amen? It's going to happen. Because we're going to seek the face of God. And God's going to reveal his direction for us. And there's the invitation for you. Do you want it bad enough? Are you hungry enough for him to set aside other things that we might pursue him in his will for us? There's a vote we're going to take next Sunday for board members. It's a vote. This is not a popularity test. A vote. This is about what God wants. And there are three people who are going to be voting on. Two men and one woman, female. And you know, with my desire that we keep things balanced, because I like having an equal voice, you know, on my board with me. And so I want Michael Parks to stand to his feet. I want Cherie Smith. Cherie is still here. And then Michael Yarnell. And I want you guys to come up here to the front. Just come on up here to the front. Come on up here to the front. And I'm going to pray over them. And I want you to see who these people are that we're going to be voting on. All of them are qualified, but we want God's will to be done to help us achieve this vision God has for us. And so Sheree has been on the board presently. Michael has been on the board in the past. And Michael Parks, he's never been on the board, but he's smart and savvy and loves the Lord. And so I want you to stretch your hands out towards these three, because you'll be voting next Sunday. Father, I thank you for these men and this young lady that you have placed in our midst, who are passionate about you and the things you want to do in this community. God, I pray that your will would be done. You know who you want sitting there with me. And so I trust you with the people, oh God, that we vote for whoever you desire. God, I pray just for their willingness to let their names go forth, and that you would bless them. That you would bless their coming in and their going out. You would bless everything they set their hands to do because of their willingness, oh God, because they're willing. Bless them because of that, oh God. God, I speak a blessing over their family as well, oh God, for them allowing them to even be voted on, oh God. God, these three are so precious in your sight. I pray, God, that you would surround them with your favor. I call the blood of Jesus to cover them, and it keeps back the hand of the enemy. God, I trust you with them. And again, I thank you for their willingness to serve. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. And give them a hand, everyone. Okay, so I've got some time left. I'm looking at this clock. Are you glad you're here? Glory to God. So grab your Bibles, smartphones, tablets, and go with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to get through Ephesians chapter 4 today. We've been there for quite a while. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 17. Our goal is to get from 17 down to 32. We won't stay on, go through every verse, but we will hit most of them. And I'm going to read verses 17 through 22 or through 24 first. And so I want you to stand to your feet as I read. I know we did that years ago in the old church. How many of y'all remember that when they were? You remember that? Here we go. I'm going to read from by the New King James Version. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." Where's the truth at? Glory to God. "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of this word. You may be seated, everyone, in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. This new man. And the Apostle Paul is telling the church at Ephesus about, listen, I don't want you to walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. I wrote in my book this phrase, don't blend into the world. Sometimes there is an idea that we don't want to look different, because we want to kind of, you know, make them feel like it's, you know, we're just like you know. Listen, I want you to know straight up, we're different. We're different. We're not called to blend in. We're called to be different. And I know there are some who will say, well, you know, I don't want them to think that we're weird. Weird is spitting on a man's tongue and then he's able to speak. Well, y'all have read your Bible, so I'll go to this side. So y'all know. Weird is spitting on the ground, making some mud, putting on a guy's eye, telling him to go to the pool and wash, and you'll be able to see. That's weird. Amen? So we shouldn't be afraid of being weird. Amen? The Bible tells us that he's called us to be peculiar, meaning different. We got to be different. Because when they're going through the world, the Gentile, the unsaved, going through there, we'll describe it as hell, we want to be so different, they'll come and ask us, I'm just tired of this life. Do you know anything I can do? And we can point them towards Jesus. But if we're the same, that's why I tell young people, listen, you're having trouble in life, trouble in your marriage, and you go into some of your colleagues, your kids at your same age, you better go to some old folks who would have been married 30, 40, 50 years. Amen? Glory to God. It says here, do not walk any longer as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. This futility means this. Means it's not that they have a lack of intellect, not that they don't have great ideas. This futility means in vain. meaning that whatever route they take, listen, you can be a billionaire, don't know Jesus, die, end up in Hades. That's futility. You can get houses and land, rich beyond rich, but don't know Jesus. That's futility. It's in vain because you end up with nothing. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, don't be running after crazy stuff that may seem good. It's going to end, you'll end up in hell. If the road you are on doesn't end up with Jesus, get off of that road. If all you're doing is chasing after fleshly desirable things, you need to change your focus. Amen? Don't walk like that. They've had their understanding darkened. They've been alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart. Listen, the enemy tries to blind men and women to the facts of life. And the facts of life, or the truth of life, is this. So Jesus made this prayer in John chapter 17. He says, sanctify them with thy truth. And the next phrase he said, thy word is truth. This is truth. Whatever contradicts this is a lie. It's false. So this is truth. And the enemy has blinded many people saying this is not truth. This is truth. They'll tell you that, well, you know, you did not, you, this is what happened. This is what happened. You evolved from another type, a creature type, and you evolved into what humans are now. You evolved. The devil's a liar. Amen? Well, and I stated it a few weeks ago, the devil says, well, there's really, it just happened. It was just big boom, and it just happened. And I gave you the example, just to the natural man, you know that's stupid. All of a sudden, all of a sudden, there was no design, no nothing, no time, no thought taking anything. All of a sudden, there was a boom, and here come this iPhone that you can take pictures with and FaceTime with people. How stupid is that? Because the enemy knows that if he can get you to believe in that there is no design, then you'll say there's no designer. But there is design, and there is a designer. His name is Jesus. Amen? His name is Jesus. And he designed all of this. Amen? And the devil is trying to blind people. And there are many intellectuals who disbelieve this as being truth. And there's one person that said, this has to get into the 21st century. You know, it's too old. The devil is a liar. Amen? Says, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness. How do I describe this? I'll just tell you the truth. Before I got saved, I was bad. As many of you were. And we would try to hide our badness. Am I the only one? But a lewd man does not care how much he shocks the public opinion with his sin, so long he can satisfy his fleshly desires. Meaning this, a lewd man does not care. and doesn't care what he's doing, who sees him doing it. And it says that they gave themselves over to lewdness, to work being unclean and with greediness. And the apostle was saying, listen, don't walk like that. Don't walk like that. Don't walk like that. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him. Not just learning about Christ, but learn Christ. Meaning not just reading the text, not just reading the scriptures, not just learning about Christ, but learn Christ. Meaning Christ is in you. I'm learning him. I'm learning him. I've learned him. He's in me. I've learned him. This means a living, abiding knowledge of Christ will keep us from sinful conducts. Just knowing about Jesus will not keep us pure. It means I've got to know Jesus. I just can't know about him. I've got to know him. Right? I've got to know him. I've got to know him. Not just knowing about him, I've got to know him. Paul was saying, you got to know him. You got to know him. But you're not so learned Christ, says, for us to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So, Dwayne, why don't you stand up for a moment? So take off your jacket. Okay. And so now I want you to put the jacket on. So you got to get it on. Get it on. So listen to this. Who actually has given him strength to take it off and on? It's not a trick question. God. God enables you to move, to breathe, bend over. God enables that, right? Right. Right. And so God has enabled him to do that, right? But whose decision was it for him to take off the jacket and put it back on? It was his. I just told him to, but it was his decision. He could have said no. Amen? All right. So you can maybe see it. So the Apostle Paul was saying this. You got to put on this new man. All right? So it's like God is saying, I'm a tailor, and I tailored this new man for you. All right? And so I'm making it available for you. Right? But you must choose to put this new man on. And so on a daily, I have to decide, am I going to put this new man on today? Because my old worn-out jeans, they feel mighty comfortable. Amen? And I've been wearing them most of my life. And so they fit very well on me, on my flesh. But God is saying, I have designed and created a new man for you to put on. And it is here. But the decision is yours. Now, again, it's more comfortable to just put on the old pair of jeans. Am I right? And listen, it's more comfortable that when they come at me sideways, I just cuss them out. I've been doing it for years. I'm well versed at it. I know how to do it with a smile. I can do it. Those are my comfortable jeans. But what God is saying is, you got to take those comfortable jeans off. They're comfortable to your flesh, but they're not created in righteousness. And so I've created this new man in righteousness, and I've offered it to you. And you must choose to put it on, but the choice is yours. I've enabled you. We can no longer say we can't live this life, because we can, because of the Holy Ghost. But you must choose to put it on. And we cannot fall back into the lifestyle where this is more comfortable. It's more comfortable to wear the old jeans. But God is saying, I got a new man for you to put on, but you have to choose. You have to choose to put them on or not. And listen, and when you first put the new man on, it's not very comfortable. Because the new man requires you on many occasions to hold your peace when you want to tell that person something. But you realize, I'm the new man. And at times, you are tempted to take off at least just the jacket of the new man. Because you feel in their mind they need to hear something from you. Amen? But God said, no, keep it on. Keep that new man on. I've designed it in righteousness. The old man, no, it's not righteous. But the new man is righteous, but you have to make a decision whether you're going to keep it on. It's uncomfortable initially. But the longer you keep it on, it becomes a level of comfort that you then begin comfortable holding your peace. There's a level of comfort for you saying things that are edifying and build people up. But you got to keep it on. And as the enemy sees you put it on the new man, he will throw situations, people in your path that will bring about this temptation to take off the old man, take off the new man, and put on the old man. Amen? But with every temptation, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it's common to everyone, right? It's common to everyone. God will give you strength and a way to bear it that you may be able to escape it. So just keep on that new man. Don't take it off. But you have the choice. You have the choice. This new man was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You have a choice to wear the new man. Why do I wear the new man? Because there are countless of unsaved people in my circle, my area of influence, who need to see firsthand what the new man, what the Christ man looks like. And if you fall back and put on the old man, it's going to confuse them as to what it means to be Christ-like. So they are hundreds of people in your area, in your circle, right, who do not know Jesus. And they desperately, even though they don't know it, they desperately need to see what it looks like to be a Christ-like man. And so they need to see you in tough situations. So let me back up. Not only does the devil throw temptations at you, but God often allows that. Because that person in your next cubicle, they need to hear how you respond when the boss comes at you sideways. Your kids need to see you when your wife or your husband comes at you a little, yeah, they need to see that. And so God allows that so he can demonstrate his power through you so that the unsaved person can say, there's a difference there, and I want that. I want to tell you, I worked in construction all of my life, and I remember one incident in particular when the office personnel approached me, and she didn't know what I had. She didn't know I was born again. She knew that I was something. There was something different. And they said, whatever you got, I want that, because it was Jesus. It was Jesus. And so put on the new man. Verse 25 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Put it away. Stop lying. Glory to God. It says here, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I wanted to stop here for a moment because the implication here is Paul is saying, according to Paul, there's a time frame for your anger. There is a shelf life for your anger. And if you keep it on the shelf past the shelf life, your anger will develop this root of bitterness. It says here, do not let the sun go down, right, on your wrath. So let's look at it. We'll use something that's easy, husbands and wives. You cannot go to the next day. I'm not preaching from perfection. I want y'all to know that, all right? I'm not preaching from a position of perfection. Amen? All right, so I'm not thinking, no, I'm preaching the truth, and so it's hitting all of us. We cannot go to the next day with anger in the home. Okay, I got a couple of amens. We cannot go the next day with anger in the home. Amen. Because what happens is you sleep on it all night and the enemy turns it into bitterness. And so what has to happen is we've got to deal with it before the sun goes down. Amen? And so that means one of us got to be Christ-like enough to initiate the restoration. Amen? You see, I'm looking on this side right here, right? No, I'll look on this side too. One of us, and whether it's a husband, wife, father, son, mother, daughter, friend, brothers, doesn't make a difference, okay? One of us has to be Christ-like, and I'm trying to get you equipped, okay? One of us has to be Christ-like enough to initiate the restoration. Even though you may not be, or your point may be valid, and you're not in the wrong particular time, one of us has to initiate restoration. That's Christ-likeness, right? Adam and Eve, they sinned, right? Right. But who initiated the restoration? God. They sinned, but God initiated the restoration. So God made the plans and the provisions to restore the relationship, even though he was not the one in the wrong. Are you listening to me? Because you got to take this and take it home with you. He was not the one in the wrong, but he initiated the restoration process. So when you go home and there's an issue in the home and you're angry, and anger is this secondary emotion. There's always a primary emotion before anger, right? But you don't communicate it, but whatever. Anger happens in the home, all right? One of you have to be Christ-like enough to initiate restoration. Because if both of you, both sides, are stubborn and hard-headed, what's going to happen is you go to bed at night with this, and there's a root of bitterness that starts to develop. I know I'm preaching to somebody. Don't nod. Just look straight ahead so no one will know. It says, don't let it. So one of us has to humble ourselves enough to say, you know, okay, let me share this. And Ola know this the truth. Ola know this is the truth. You know the truth. More often than not, I have to initiate the restoration. And watch this. I'm the man. I'm the spiritual leader of the home. I have to demonstrate this. Are you listening to me? I'm the man. I'm the spiritual leader of the home. I have to demonstrate this. So I have to initiate the restoration process. Now, sometimes it doesn't come off as a huge initiation. I may just call in and say, what you doing? I don't want to say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. You know, I messed up. I just call and say, what you doing? How your day? What we got for dinner tonight? You know? I'm trying to create this dialogue, right? Because it's been rough for the past four hours, right? And so I'm the man, and so that means you have to humble yourself enough to initiate the restoration process. And if you're not humble enough and you listen to the voice of the enemy, and the voice of the enemy will say, he's wrong. Or the devil will say, well, she's wrong. You always reach out. You always are the first one to. You always. It's her time now. Oh, shoot. She don't know what it's like to get early in the morning and go to work. She don't know. And so he'll put all these things in your mind. I'm talking about putting on the new man. Put on the new man. See, the old man was stuck. The old man not going to ask for forgiveness. The old man will not try to restore. But I'm talking about putting on the new man. Because the new man is going to humble themselves because they're Christ-like. And Christ has designed and created this new man, this new set of clothes for you to put on. But you must choose to put it on. I'm trying to equip you. When you go home, when you go to your job, you have to initiate the restoration process. And you have to be secure in yourself to do that. Now, if you're not secure in yourself, you ain't going to do it. Because you're going to feel like, oh, they're walking all over me, you know. Don't worry about that. Initiate the restoration process. Amen? So don't let the sun go down your eye. There's going to be issues in every relationship. Amen? Talking about the new man. All right? But if you're Christ-like and you remember what Christ did for us and how he initiated restoration, he initiated. He didn't have to come down. No. We were in the wrong. We were the sinful ones, not him. He decided, because I love them so much, I'm going to initiate this process. I'm going to make a way for them. And so whether it's the man or the woman or the boss, and whatever it is, as believers of Christ, we have to initiate this process. If you're the boss and you run your own company and you know you were wrong by how you treat that employee, you've got to suck it up and go to that person. You know what? I was wrong. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I'm trying to tell you, don't take care of it today. Don't let the sun go down. Take care of it today. Tell your neighbor, take care of it today. Take care of it today. When you leave here, go to Starbucks. Take care of it. Amen. So watch this. It says nor give place to the enemy. Nor give place to the enemy. What happens is, when you do not take care of it, what happens is you open the door for the enemy. Give him place, really is like an invitation. All right? And so when you do not do this, you're giving an invitation to the enemy to take up residence in that particular relationship, whether it's employee, employer, husband, wife, son, daughter, difference. Don't give the devil any place. Don't give him any room. Don't give him any room. The Bible says the devil is going about, he's like this roaring lion, right? Like a roaring lion. He's not the roaring lion, but he's like a roaring lion. says, seeking whom he may devour. There's an implication there is he can't devour just anyone. He's seeking for the ones who are out of place, who don't want to put on the new man, who allow the sun to go down their wrath. He's seeking for someone who's not walking in this truth. And so a predator will, oh, yes, thank you, Lord. When you are separated from community, he's seeking you. Glory to God. When you are separated from community, this is community. When you are separated from community, he's seeking you. Stay in community. Amen? I don't care how hard it is. I don't care. Stay in community. In community, there's safety. You ever watch those National Geographic little films? And they got the predator, and they're just waiting for either the baby or the slowest little animal. And you know what they do. And they just kill the little one, right? He's seeking whom he may devour, meaning this. If you're separate from community, if you're not walking in this, he's going to devour you. Amen? So don't give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands with his good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let or allow no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Meaning this, what we say should edify people. What we say should edify. I'm talking about the new man. The new man should edify. You should be building people up. You can make it. You can do it. I'm praying for you. I know you can do it. You're God's chosen. You're valuable. We should speak words to edify people and not words to tear them down. Amen? So, Jesus, He's got baptized. He comes out of the water. And then there's these words that are spoken from the Father. It says how this is my beloved Son, right? And it says this, you know, whom I'm well pleased. Meaning this, he affirmed his Son. And I found out that, and I think I've shared this before, no matter how old I had gotten, I still needed to hear those words of affirmation from my dad. They edified me, right? And I know that he loved me, right? I knew that, right? But I shared this with you. I don't think it was till he got into his 70s that he communicated those words to me. You listen to what I'm saying? Okay. So I knew that it was, I knew that he did, but he didn't communicate those words to me until in the 70s. And so I would, and I'm in my 40s. I'm grown, right? And I would tell him, Dad, I did this and did that. And I'm grown. And I'm like a little puppy, like, the, you know, and my dad would say, boy, you did good. And that meant the world to me. It meant the world to me. That edified me. That built me up, right? And so what the writer is saying here, that we need to use words that edify people. So I'm going to challenge, because I'm a man, I'll just stick with the men. I'm used, dads, edify your sons. Build your sons up. It's easy with dads to build their girls up with me, right? With me, build my girls up, you know. Yeah, girl, you're so pretty. Oh, you're looking good there. Oh, dad. Oh. I know she want to hear about dad. But I say it, but I have to make sure I do it for my sons as well, right, to build them up. And so the writer's saying here, we got to use these words that edify people. To build them up, because there's so much negativity in the world that tears them down. And so we have to be the ones to build them up. Amen. Remember, I put on the new man. I'm representing Christ. God the Father did it for his son. I'm well pleasing this boy. And I want all y'all to know it. This boy right here, this is my boy. I'm well pleased with my boy. Amen. And so what we need to do in front of people, say, this is my boy. I'm well pleased with my boy. This boy right here, that's my boy right there. Hallelujah. We were in Reno, not gambling, years ago. And I'll make sure y'all hear, get that straight. And so, then y'all have a license to go out there and start gambling. I'm not saying that. We were in Reno years ago. My son was 4 years old, my youngest son. And I was, we were at Circus, right? And you can play little games there. So we had like three arrows. There were balloons there. And I was throwing, and I missed. And then my boy's four. And he said, Dad, let me try it. Yeah, whatever. Okay, here you go. The last one anyway. He turned like this and boop. Popped the balloon out of my mouth. That's my boy right there. Yeah, that's my boy right there. Uh-huh. That's my boy. Yeah, uh-huh. And they edify, build them up, what the Father did. The Bible says here that we need to edify, speak words to edify, build people up. Amen? Man, okay, let me get through the last few verses. Time is running away. It says here, verse 30, I'll skip down there. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When God designed and created us, in his image, he has feelings as well. So we have feelings. He also has feelings. It says here, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put all this away. It's clamor. Make all that noise. And be kind to one another. And I'm going to end with this. Tenderhearted. People may wonder why you or me put up with so much, especially from other people, and you give them the benefit of the doubt. It's because of this last phrase here in this verse right here. Forgiving one another, watch this, even as God in Christ forgave you. I have the ability to forgive you when you sin against me. Because I remember how Christ forgave me. How can I hold against you sin, whatever, when I know I've been forgiven? If you have an issue with forgiving others, you have forgotten that you've been forgiven. Huh? But if you remember that you've been forgiven, because some of us were rascals. Amen? Some of us were liars. Some of us were cheaters. Thieves would get drunk. Amen? Get high. Amen? Some of us were. But God in Christ forgave us. And so when I think about his willingness to forgive me, I can't be mad at you for very long. I'm trying to tell you something. I can't be mad at you very long. I tried to stay mad at Ola for a while. I do. I mean, shoot, Lord. And then I was in this devotion the other day. I started this 7-day devotion. It was about marriage. and it cut me to the core, because in that devotion, and I told you all about it, in that devotion, the writer said, you have to look at your wife, and I've got daughters who are married, like she's God's daughter. And I started thinking about my oldest girl, Kim, who's married to Hugo, and how I want him to treat her. And I'm saying, dang. I tried to look at Ola like her father-in-law is God, and how he would want me to treat her. And it just kind of just melts away all the little and then I told the Lord, you better do something with the Lord, because I don't know, man. that's your good girl. You better do something with her, because, man. But I have to look at God like I married his daughter. And the way that I want my son-in-law to treat my daughter, I realize I have to treat her that way or even better, because she's God's daughter. And it changed my perspective, right? And so it gives me this ability to forgive, to cover, and just, you know, okay, sweetheart, what do you want? Fix your breakfast. I tell you, years ago, I wouldn't do it. But I've been putting on the new man, right? And it's changing me, right? It's like I've caught this mantle that God has thrown on me, right? And he's called me, said, you want to follow me? When Elisha followed Elijah, that meant Elisha had to do all the dirty work. He had to get water for his master, right? He had to, whatever the master wanted, that's what Elisha had to do. And so as me taking the mantle, I do what God has called me to do. And what this does, it crucifies my flesh. And God has taken me through this process of crucifying my flesh. And is it easy? Of course it's not easy. But there's something that I want, and that something is Jesus. And I want more of him. And so I'm willing to pay that price to get to know him. Now the question is, do you really want to know him? Huh? Because if you do, then you'd be willing to take hold of that mantle and follow him. And whatever he says to do, when he says, hold your peace, you hold it. When he says, speak up, then you speak. When he says, give, then you give. When he says, surrender this time to me, then I surrender this time. And there's some of you that God's going to challenge you to surrender more of your time to him in this year. He's going to require you, and whatever person that you are, morning or night person, he's going to require more of that from you. Because if you really want to know me, you'll be willing to sacrifice that for me. Huh? I'm going to ask Sister Velma and some of the prayer team to come up here. And we're going to give you an opportunity. If you want to be prayed for, there's some things maybe that you've been, I don't know, kind of resistant. God has been saying, I want you to surrender this to me. Hallelujah. I was asking some of the staff the other day about, if God asks you to go 40 days without TV, would you be willing to do it? And Moses says, yeah, we'll do that. Whatever God is asking you to do this year, he's asking you to surrender more and more and more of yourself to him, because he wants to do something great in you. And if you feel like God has been drawing you closer to him, I'm going to have you come up here in a moment and let these people pray in agreement with you. So everyone stand to your feet, please. and you've sensed that God has been drawing you. Now, many of you are saved. You're saved, but God's drawing you. He wants to reveal more of himself to you. He wants you to peel away that onion to get closer to him. And if I'm speaking to any one of you here today, I want you to just come up to this altar, and we're going to pray with you. If you sense God is tugging at your heart, and what you did last year was great, but God is asking for more of a yes, more of a surrender. I'll give you a moment. He's throwing the mantle, and you must decide whether you want to follow or not. But he's asking, says, I want you to come to know me even more. I want you to know me even more. And there may be others. God is pulling at your heart. He's pulling at your heart. He's pulling at your heart. He has thoughts for you to give you a hope and a future, not to destroy you. Give you a hope and a future. He's pulling at your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to know we're getting ready to close. And while this team is here praying, I ask you that when we close, that you just move out quietly. For those of you who are interested or have any questions about our budget 2020, we have Sister Sharita going to meet you in the back classroom to answer any of your questions that you may have. We're voting next week on our annual budget. Please do not forget about our fast starting tomorrow. Again, this team will be here and will pray for you. If you sense God is saying anything to you and you want someone to pray for you. If not, I'm going to give this closing prayer and then ask that you, if you're not being prayed for, just to exit quietly. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that you have designed a new man for us to put on. And you have given us the ability to put it on. Thank you that you're drawing us to a deeper level in you. Thank you that you've given us this invitation, oh God, to come to know you at a much deeper level. So I pray, God, that you would answer every prayer that's being prayed today, that you would do great work in the lives of these men and women today. And in Jesus' name, I pray. And you are dismissed, everyone.